book of Psalms, don't you? The Lord sure has opened them up to be here lately. Thank God for it. You look at verse 4 there in verse 48, the Bible says, or excuse me, chapter 48, verse 3 said, God is known in her places for a refuge. For, lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. I like that word together, but I'll tell you what, the Lord's really opened it up. Spoke to us today. I tried to study a little bit last night, and between my young'un wanting to play and it being late and trying to get her into bed, and the Lord just wouldn't give it to me, and the Lord told me to go lay down. So I went, and man, I got sweet sleep and was able to rest. And I was sitting in the truck this morning, and I was trying to figure out what the Lord had me to do and what direction we need to go. And I've been hung up on this song the Jimmy Justice family sings on what lies ahead. And man, oh man, how God blows through my soul every time I get thinking about that song. And I began to think, you know, on Friday the Lord really revealed that song to me on really why we believe and why we're persuaded and why we're committed and why we do it by faith. And it's all because what lies ahead. And man, I feel God all over it. I feel just taking my breath. I mean, I just feel God so much on why that is, you know, and the Lord really opened that up to me and on why we do all that. And man, what lies ahead, what a joy that is. I mean, that's picked me up on what, I mean, just to be able to think, you know, on what lies ahead, you know, on the things of heaven and things that we can't really comprehend, but bless God, we can look forward and we can look, just imagine, just try to think about what lies ahead and think about the goodness and the grace and the joy unspeakable and full of glory and the long suffering. I mean, and just everything that lays on the other side of life that we ain't even got to experience yet. And only heaven can tell and time will tell when we get over there on the other side and what's going to take place when we get over there. How great God is and how beautiful He's going to be when we get there. And just how pretty His hair is going to be. And just how precious His hands will be when He raises them up. The Bible says, bless God, when we get over there, said, there'll be no more sun. He said, because I am the sun. I'm going to give light and I'm going to give it abundantly. We ain't even going to have to worry about it. I got to looking at the moon last night. Got thinking, my Lord, how pretty the moon is and how big the moon is. Bless God, when we get over, I ain't got to worry about looking at it either. Say, why is that? Because that's something that lies ahead. It's something I got to look forward to. Something that just thrills my soul, fills me up to know that I got something to look forward to that I know. I know tonight, church. I know without a shadow of a doubt what lies ahead. I know that I'm going to get to see it one day. I know without a shadow of a doubt I'm going to be there. And I thank God for it. So we're going to pick up right where we left off on Wednesday night. And I preached on by faith. Well, I'm going to pick up tonight what lies ahead. If you have your Bible, you turn with us to the book of Psalms, chapter 73. And back to what I was saying, I was sitting there this morning. And I got done praying, looking around. And I usually, while I'm waiting, you know, for the loader man to run around, come bring gravel and whatnot, I tend to get on my phone, just kind of scroll around, pilfer on the web, and, you know, just see kind of what, you know, people tend to get up in the middle of the night, prayer requests, and I'll scroll through Facebook and see if there's anything to pray about. The Lord told me, said, you need to get in your Bible. And I began to look and trying to find, usually look through my Bible and try to find, you know, stuff that goes along with my message. Try to give me direction. I got to looking for the word ahead, and I can't find it through the whole King James Bible. It ain't nowhere. But I found a piece here, the word afterward, like what happens afterwards. What's going to happen afterwards? I thought, that's kind of odd. So I want you to turn with me to Psalms chapter 73, and begin reading in verse 22. Psalms 73, verse 22, the Bible says, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. That right hand's serious. That's power. God seated on the right hand of the Father. God held him by his right hand. I mean, that's the power in that right hand right there. And the Bible says in verse 24, thou shalt, now listen, this is what the Lord showed me this morning. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me into glory. Shoo. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. God be my helper tonight. I want to preach on that thought. What lies ahead? Father, God, I can't do it without you. Father, you've brought your people here tonight, and I pray, God, you give them holy understanding. And I pray, Father, you'd anoint their hearing, God. I pray you'd bring it to them, Father. I pray, God, you give them understanding, Lord. They'd grasp, Father, what you've showed me. I pray you'd anoint their hearing, Father, God, because they ain't going to hear it unless you touch it. Father, I pray you'd preach us, God, tonight. I pray, Father, you'd help us, Lord, as only you can. I pray, Father, you'd help us, God, that we may understand your book. Lord, that much the more better. God, help us, Father, tonight. God, I need thee. And Lord, I can't do it without you, Father, nor what I want to. God, you give me strength. Father, you pick me up, Lord. And God, you hold me close to you, Father. Draw nigh unto me, Lord. Show us thy glory tonight. God, give us unction to preach. And Father, I pray you'd anoint the hearing and help us, God. Lord, help us, Father, tonight. God, we need thee. Lord, I cry to you tonight, Father, asking, God, you'd hear our prayer. Lord, touch us, Father, as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We see here, I'll go back to verse number one. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, and my steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Now let me stop right there. Let me get you to where we're at. So the man that wrote this psalm is Asaph. And Asaph was one of the three, there was three kings in David's time when King David was reigning. Okay, over Israel, there was three kings, and Asaph was one of them. Now Asaph, he got the privilege, got the opportunity. He wrote 12 psalms, 12 little small portions of psalms throughout the whole book. And Asaph there, as he began to write, he's writing here about the wickedness of the world. He's writing here about the cruelty whereof and everything taking place, and pretty much on the same level where we're at. Asaph being a nobody, just trying to serve God, trying to be obedient to God, a chief musician. I mean, Asaph played the cymbal for the Ark of the Covenant out of the tribe of Levi. I mean, Asaph is a big deal. And he had an important role, an important part of what he is doing. But it shows here, and he's talking about how it got him down to look at the worldly things. You get where I'm coming from? It got him down when he got his eyes off of God and got to looking around at all the wickedness and all the foolishness and all the things of the world that the devil was trying to get his eyes to focus in on, and it's dragging him down every time he look at it. And Asaph's writing about this chapter. He says here, he said, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. Man, the Lord began to speak to me this morning about where my condition was when I was a lost sinner. Oh, God, my feet was almost the point of gone. I'd have been just as well off to not even have no feet. Bless God, didn't been cut off at the ankle bones. That's to the point of where I was at when God dropped by my way, when God drew near to me. My feet, he said, my feet was almost gone. We see there, he follows that up and he said, my steps had well nigh slipped. Bless God, I had slipped so low.
I had gone so far to the point. I mean, when you walk in sin, you walk through sin day in. When I was a lost man, man, I walked over a bed of piranhas every day. I mean, every day I walked through the piranha pile of sin, and they'd eat my feet. And he says it right. He said my feet was almost gone. He said my steps had slipped me. I had gone as far as I could, and it eat me up there. Bless God, he said the Lord. Bless God, saved him. But he see, that was my condition. And Asaph, he's showing, you know, kind of how bad things really are. He said, verse 3, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. It bothers me to see the wicked prosper like they do. I mean, my physical self, my flesh self, it bothers me. I think, Lord God, here I am. I am working all I can work. I'm doing all I can do. I'm serving God, and there ain't nothing go right. Is anybody else like me tonight? Anybody else in the same boat I am tonight? Hey, I'm telling you, it's okay. It's okay that we're struggling. It's okay that we can't get nowhere. It's okay that we're stuck in the mud. If you'll honor God, He'll honor you. It's okay that you ain't going nowhere. It's okay that you're serving God and can't get rich for it. It's okay, bless God, that we can't make much money. Bless God, it blesses my soul to know that I serve a God that will take care of me. If I'll honor God, He'll honor me. If I'll sacrifice for God, He'll sacrifice for me. If I sacrifice my flesh and say, God, I'm going to serve you no matter the what. I'm going to serve you no matter how wicked the world gets, how much money the world's making, how much the devil puts around me. God, I'm going to serve you. God, honor that. I'm telling you, He will. You know why? Because of what lies ahead. Hey, yous are dead in a doornail tonight. Man, I'm telling you what's flooding through my soul. Have you ever watched the movie Polar, Shoot Far? Watch that movie, the Express movie, the train movie, where the kids, the Polar Express. You ever watched that movie? Surely everybody's watched that movie. Let me tell you where I'm at. So when that kid gets up there in downtown, right? Oh, God. And he hears that music playing all throughout the streets. That's what's blowing through my soul right now to know that I know what lies ahead. No matter how hard things get, no matter how big the seas raise, I know and I believe, I'm committed, I'm persuaded, and I do it all by faith. Say, why you do it, preacher? Because I know what lies ahead. I know what lies ahead. I'm not serving a God that I just look into the grave of bliss and don't even know what's ahead. I don't serve a God that I get up every day and just go bow down and pray to a dead human and a dead being pile of bones or a dead statue or a little fat feller. I don't pray to nothing like that. I pray to a true living God, and He showed me through His word. He showed me through His promises. He showed me through prayer. He showed me through supplication, and I know what lies ahead. That blows through. I mean, I can just hear the music. I can just hear the praise. I can hear the footsteps of God. I mean, just flowing through my soul because I know what lies ahead. Bless God. I mean, just like Asaph said there, he said, it'll help me. It'll be good for me if I draw nigh to God. But I see here, I got to looking and studying throughout the day about biblical numerology and things about Asaph that I thought was very interesting about that number 12. And 12 is a complete number. Would you agree? Well, I didn't know until I got to study. But 12 is a complete number. And there's many times, and I have to look at my notes, that the number 12 is found in the Bible, about 187 to be exact. And then, you think about this, Jacob had 12 sons. And out of them 12 sons came the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay, there's one. God specified that there's 12 unleavened cakes to be laid out on the temple every week during that time. 12 cakes. Not only that, Christ called and chose 12 men to bear record to Him and teach and preach the word. The 12 disciples. He said he called not only that, he called 12,000 from each tribe of Israel. When the tribulation happens, there's going to be 12,000 out of the 12 tribes of Israel. That's 12 times 12, be 144,000 Jews that's going to roam across this earth and spread the good news. But I'm not going to be here. Say, why is that? Because I know what lies ahead. I don't have to wait for that time. You, Brother Bobby? Oh, God, I don't know that I know that I... Hey, this is a message for you lost person and you weak, saved person that's just bothered on your down and out and bothered because the devil's got you down and bothered because it's rubbed you up in the dirt and obviously you didn't take in the revival because it must not be burning your soul. But I'm telling you tonight, I believe and I'm persuaded and I'm fully committed by faith because I know what lies ahead. I mean, I've often wondered since revival, well, Lord, I believe, I do, and I'm committed, and I am, and I'm persuaded, and I am, and I do it all by faith. But why do we do this, Lord? What is the reason for all of this? And God showed me Friday. He said, you do it all because you know what lies ahead. He said, lay up yourselves, no treasures on this earth, but lay them up in heaven where moth nor rust do corrupt, and the thieves can't break and steal. But, Scott, the more I read that book, and the closer walk I draw to God, like Asaph said, the more I long for a far country. The more I know that the sweeter it gets, the days that go by, what lies ahead for me. I mean, life might get hard and the devil gets big and he just keeps getting bigger, seems like. And then it just seems like that the road we hoe day in and day out as a saved person keeps getting harder and harder and harder. But man, it just keeps getting sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. I mean, I think about it, they've been three or four times since it seems like Sunday night, I believe that, man, I could just blow it off on somebody. But, man, it seems like the more I study my Bible since Monday, the more I read, the more situations that the devil comes and tries to prod me and poke me in, the more mercy I can just freely give to people. Say, why is that? Because there's a God that knows what's lying ahead, and he's giving it to me freely. I mean, bless God, you ain't got to bring your family down here and sacrifice them. You ain't got to bring everything down here and sacrifice yourself or whatever you have. Salvation is free. Now, I'm not saying that once you get saved, you're going to have to give up some stuff. It's part of being a Christian. It's part of being Christ-like. To follow Christ, said to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'm dying daily because I want more of that man. I want more of what he's got. Say, why you want that? Because I want heaven. I want the splendors of heaven. I want understanding of heaven. I want the love and joy of what's on the other side. I think about not only, excuse me, we got hung up on 12,000 tribes out of each tribe, but you think about those 12 people in the Bible that was specifically, specially anointed with unique tasks. 12 of them. No more. Nobody can do the task that they do. Not only that, the high priest wore a breastplate. Within that breastplate was 12 stones that represented the 12 tribes of Israel. So I'm telling you, this number 12 is serious. It's a big thing. It's a big thing. But we read on. In verse number 4, the Bible says, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, and they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak lawfully. They set their mouth against the heavens. Their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither the waters of a full cup and are wrung out to them. And they say, how doeth God know? And there is knowledge in the Most High. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastised every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. First of all, we see the dreadful discouragement, verses 1 through 15. We see where Asaph's at. He's telling you, he said, here's what's going on in my land. All this is taking place. The wicked, they wear a coat of wickedness. I mean, they just, it's just wicked. Everything about them is just wicked. I mean, they just got this coat on, and it's just pure wickedness, and they just wear it around. And everything they do is bad, and they speak bad, and they say bad. Everything just comes out of their mouths just nasty and filthy. I mean, they just run us down. I mean, do y'all run into people like that? Lord God, seems like I run into them every day. I mean, I can't turn around till I'm meeting somebody else. And it's F this and a GD that. And I mean, just rolling it off like it's okay or something. I mean, they just wear that coat of filth. Don't get silent on me. It's a truth. It's the same as where we're living as Asaph. I mean, everything you're reading in the book of Psalms, it talks about, I mean, the same thing we're seeing today. I mean, I walk around, I go around throughout, I think I see many people. Verse number 6 says, and therefore pride compasseth them. I mean, I see people that's wicked, and I mean, they're so prideful. And don't get me wrong, some of us Baptists get like that too, amen. Yes, we can. I mean, God starts showing up for you, and you're going to get a big chest, right, real quick. Hey, I've got to remind myself of that. Your pastor's got to remind himself of that. It's the truth. We got to stay humble within ourselves. What does God require you? Humility. Truthfulness. Doing the right thing, bless God. But we see here Asaph, he's talking about all these people, and they walking around with big chests. Walking around with nasty coats on and wickedness and darkness, and their countenance is dark and everything. I mean, it is just plumb discouraging, is it not? I mean, why do you think the Bible said, bless God, it's good for one another, a saved person, to dwell together? I mean, you be going through a dark and weary land. Stand up, Kevin. You be going through a dark and weary land. I mean, it be dark. You got wicked people wearing coats all around you. Lord God, you see another light over our bebopping. What's your soul do? Your soul's going to link up one with another. Does it not? When I meet up with a saved person I know saved, we have communion one with another. And our hearts can dwell in safety during the midst of a wicked day, during the midst when it's dark, during the midst when it's just nasty and wicked and everything. Stand up, Luke, and bless God. And we get to going around. Seems like when we got one, we're like Pac-Man. One saved person shows up, another. Am I not telling you right? I mean, how the Lord works when you seems like you're down and out, and you're just struggling, so forth, carrying on, and God sends the saved person you know, yoke up before you know it, there's another standing beside you. Next thing you know, there's 5 or 6 standing around the crowd, and you just professing, claiming, thanking God for what he's doing. Amen. Amen. When you get to thanking God, God show up and send more reinforcements. Take that dreadful discouragement and throw it down the pipe, amen. This is what Asaph's saying here. In the first 15 verses of Psalm 73, Asaph is telling, he said, listen, he said, this is wickedness. He said, their eyes stand out with fatness. I mean, have you ever looked into a lost person's eyes? Man, I've looked into a bunch of them. I mean, it's as black as Drew's shirt. I'm not picking on you, Drew, but I'm just telling you. I mean, it is. You look in their eyes, you can see plumb in their soul, and it's black and wicked. Black's my wife's shirt. I mean, I hate the color black. I despise it. I do. I mean, it ain't nothing but wickedness. I mean, just black. I mean, I don't like black. Black's color death. Black's color sin. I like color red. Red's color blood. Cover my life, my filthiness, my wickedness. God washed it and thrown it away, amen. Is anybody else saved in here tonight?
Amen.
I love that color. But it's the truth. I mean, you can get up with a lost person, man, you can just tell. I mean, there's just an evil countenance on them. There's just a veil on them. There's a coat on them. I mean, you can just tell. Because then you can feel the devil, can't you? You can feel that discouragement. You can just feel it. The devil said, don't you even go talk to them. I know where you've been. I know what you're... And the devil go to aggregate, will he not? I mean, Yeah, you say, God put people in front of me. God filled me up. God let me witness people. Well, God send you somebody, and you can just see evil all over them. And the devil show up. Well, don't you talk to them. Don't you bother them. That wouldn't look good, you hanging out with that person now. You know that person's bad. That dreadful discouragement comes showing up. Now, does it not? I mean, how many times You be having, I mean, just a standout killer day of the Lord. Next thing you know, here comes dreadful discouragement. Just come bebopping right into life and just cussing, I mean, up a dang hurricane storm about to blow you off your feet. I mean, here you are levitating on holy ground. Here comes dreadful discouragement trying to throw you in a hole. Is it not the truth? Now think about all the 15 verses there. I try not to stay here long. But I think about, second of all, verses 16 through 21, about the demanding direction. We see a turnaround here in Asaph. He speaks about the turnaround. Verse 16, the Bible says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Say, what did he thought to know? Read verse 15. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of my children. Well, don't get quiet on me now. That's the truth. This younger generation, not on the younger, the whole generation as a whole. You go speaking the truth, what happens? Oh, you hurt my feelings. That conflicts how I'm living. That conflicts with what I'm doing. That conflicts with my drinking life. That conflicts with my drugging life. That conflict, listen, this Bible you're speaking to me, that conflicts with my honky-tonk life. That conflict, listen, bless God, you go speaking the truth, you go stomp toes. You go meet up with a couple dreadful decisions, you go stomp toes because you just can't help yourself. I mean, I've been around my dad here, at least we've been selling taters left and right. I mean, he can't help himself. He gets out and I see him grab his Bible and I just start giggling. Oh boy, they in for it now, son. I mean, it's the truth. But if when you get to running one with another with a safe person, that gives you strength. That gives you direction. God give you direction, give you discernment. To be at least God give you strength to carry on. That's what God does. They strengthen numbers. Are they not, Brother Rick? You don't never see the Gideons out one or two by themselves. They travel in herds. That's the truth. They travel in herds. That's how us Baptists, or us safe people in general, we aren't traveling herds. We aren't have pack mentality. We aren't travel around just busting dreadful discouragement in the mouth. I mean, I'm telling you right, Lord God, you just about fall asleep. We think about not only the dreadful discouragement, but we see here the demanding direction. There's a turnaround here in this chapter. Verse 16 said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until. Now listen, verse 16, 17 go together. Now I had about a 30-minute session myself trying to figure out the English language this morning on conjunctions, prepositions, and all that. But I figured out here, I mean, this is just backs one another right up. You see it, the back half of verse 16. You see there, that's a semicolon, I believe. It just continues on. It's like Asaph took a breath. He said, hold on now. Let me finish this thought. Verse 17 said, until what? I went into what? The what? The sanctuary. What's Hebrews say? Oh, I love it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25, the Bible says, now I'm preaching Bible now, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Together. Hey, where y'all at tonight, Facebook? Together. Assembling ourselves together. We need one another. Your pastor needs you. It would help him tremendously to see you in the house. What's Asaph say? I mean, this is umpteen years, way before the book of Hebrew got written. And Asaph's trying to tell him, said, I've been struggling. He said, I've been walking through life. He said, I see them. He said, they're making money and that bothers me. He said, because I'm struggling. He said, I'm doing everything I can do and I can't get ahead. How many others here tonight? You're doing everything you can do and you just can't get ahead. Listen, I'm preaching somebody tonight. God's burned my heart all day long. I mean, all day long. You're doing everything you can do and you can't get ahead. I mean, you're doing everything you can do And I mean, the devil's just holding you underwater. Just give you up just enough to get a breath. Look up to heaven, help, Lord. Just back up for another breath. Hey, I'm preaching somebody tonight. I mean, you've just gone through, and you, everywhere you turn, somebody's got a little bit bigger paycheck. Somebody's going just getting a little bit more ahead. And next thing you know, you go back to the mailbox, and there's another past due bill in the mailbox. Hey, I'm preaching somebody tonight. Hey, I'm telling God's feeding me. I mean, you just, every time you turn around, it's something else. It's tire blows out, tire goes flat, another bill goes past due. I mean, just something just died day after day after day. What's Asaph say here? He says here, verse 17, until. He said in 16, he said, I thought to know all this. He said, it was painful to me until. He said, I made it to the house of the Lord. He said, I made it to the sanctuary. He said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. I can tell you how many times I've struggled all week long. And I come in here, and man, it's helped me. It's just like a burden fell off my shoulders. And I come in a side door, and God just lifted it off of me. And I come right down, sit down, and God just fed me grapes, fed me manna, and helped me. And I went right out of here knowing what lies ahead, knowing what's across the river, knowing what's on the other side. God's helped me. So we see here, we see the dreadful discouragement. We see the demanding direction here, as Asaph said. He said, until I made it into the sanctuary of God and understood therein, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou canst them down into destruction. How are they brought unto desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream, when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Now you think about it now. You think about God. He's awake. He ain't never went to sleep. I believe Asaph's using a metaphor here, trying to show you something. Trying to give you a little bit of encouragement. He said, oh Lord, when you awake, I know it's going to happen. He said, but you make evil against them. Let me give you some encouragement. Hey, it's coming today. Hang with me now. Hey, it's coming today. God's going to wake up. He ain't going to take no more. God's been very lenient with what's taking place right now. God's been very lenient with what this nation's doing right now. Put us in Facebook jail if you want to. God's been lenient with all these babies getting killed. All this homosexuality. All these queers, steers, gays, lesbians, whatever you want to call it. Men with men, women with women. God's been lenient. You need to turn from your wicked ways. Because God's being merciful. But as Asaph said, oh Lord, when thou awakest, make evil against them. Lord, get mad at them. God, do something. I'm warning thee, O sinner. You better turn while you got the chance. We see not only the demanding decision. When I see lastly, and I'll be done. Verse 22. I see the dispensational deliverance. The Bible says, so foolishness, So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. God began to deal with me. I began to think about when I was lost. Man, I was foolish. I was stupid. I mean, I was hard, gut, stupid. I was wicked, vile, wretched. I mean, there wasn't no sinner like this sinner. I mean, I was just wicked as wicked could be. Wicked as wicked come. I deserve hell with the best of them. And I was ignorant. The preacher, I'm not calling them ignorant. They're ignorant. That's what they are. That word ignorant means they don't know. They don't know no better. I didn't know no better. I mean, I just didn't know no better. Keep doing what I was doing. God had mercy on me. I turned from my wicked ways on Sunday, August 8th, 2010, about where I'm standing. God spared my life. God gave me a second chance like He wants to give you a second chance. Lost man, lost woman, I don't know where you're at tonight. But all I can tell you, hey, something lies ahead on the other side that I'm looking for. I'm banking on it. I'm standing firm tonight, fully believing that there's something lying ahead called heaven. If you ever want to see anything that's going to be on the other side, you better straighten your act. Get it right with God. For time runs eternally, everlasting, too late, and mercy runneth out. But I see this dispensational deliverance. He said, I was a beast before thee. Man, I was a beast. I was wicked. I was vile. Man, I roam around like a wild boar hog, just rooting up everything, just wicked as wicked could be. And I deserve hell. Back broke. Verse 23, the Bible says, nevertheless. Now listen to this now. Nevertheless. He's saying, Asaph's saying, he said, even though I was foolish, even though I was ignorant, even though I didn't know, even though I was a beast, he said, nevertheless, that word nevertheless means so be it. I mean, it don't matter anymore. Just don't worry about it. He said, even though I was all these things, even though I was all this, that don't matter now. I ain't looking at that. He said, I am continually with thee. Who's he with, preacher? He's with God. He's following God, doing what God wanted him to do. Believing, fully persuaded. Says, continually with thee, thou hast holden me by my right hand. Oh my. There's been times God's had to pick me up by my right hand and carry me the way. How about it, Brother Vince? God's grabbed Brother Vince and carried him the way. I mean, for about, it seems like 2 or 3 months now, God's had Brother Vince by the hand. I mean, just carrying him by the way. That's the truth. I mean, there's been times He's carried you, Brother David. There's been times He's carried you, Dad. There's been times He's carried you, Brother Donnie. There's been times He's carried you, Brother Donnie. There's been times He's carried each and every one of us by the right hand. Say, what's He done that for? Because that right hand's got power. That right hand's got power to pick you up out of the mud. That right hand's got power to pick you up out of the discouragement. That right hand's got power to pick you up out of the loneliness. When devils surrounded you with strangers. How long has it been, Brother Bobby? And God's picked you up by the right hand. Yeah, oh, He has. I'm telling you, He has. I've seen that man lowest and low. And God's picked him up by the right hand and carried him. I mean, when Brother Bobby couldn't even go, God's picked him up by the right hand. What about you, Brother Trey? I think about when you've been low and you just couldn't go no more. God's picked you up by the right hand. You both told it. I mean, I think about when God took your wife. God's picked you up by the right hand and carried you right along the way. I mean, I could go. I've been with all y'all for years on end. And I've seen how the devils came and the devils went. And I've seen how God's came and God ain't never left. That's the truth. What about you, Miss Chris? All the times you've been laying on the table trying to figure out what's going wrong. I mean, just questioning, aggravating, scratching your head. And God is picked up by the right hand. All the times you've been struggling. The devil's been on your back, Miss Miriam. Oh, yeah. I think about even times this week I've been down and out and I've been thinking, God, I know this person. I mean, this person seemed like and they're making money and they're doing this and that. I mean, they're just got it easy. And I think about this person and they have this, they ain't nothing going wrong with them. And I think about, God, you spoke to me and about doing this and you spoke to me about doing that. And God, I'm doing all these things. And it's still a struggle. It's still a grind. Tell you what, God, I wish they'd ever sing it. By Friday, it started about Elizabeth, Tennessee, and God started flooding my soul. And I rolled up in the yard of my dad's house, and I mean, glory just flooded my soul. And I couldn't quit. I mean, I just couldn't. My brother called and said, what's the matter with you? I said, God showed up. That's what's wrong with me. I don't even know what's going on because God's here. Because I know what lies ahead. I'm well persuaded. Ain't nothing going to drag me down because I know what lies ahead. I said, up ahead, ahead, there is joy and gladness and rest for my weary soul. Up ahead, ahead, there is peace and contentment. Everybody will be happy, I know. You know that I'll be at home with Jesus where tears will never be shed. So often this road gets rough and rocky till I know what lies ahead. That next verse talks about how the many mountains we've won across. How many valleys we've been down through here at Bethel. I mean, you think about, bless God, you could go back to the first verse here in chapter 73. It says, truly, God has been good to Bethel. Yes, he has. But I think about here, verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? I got a lot of people in heaven, but that ain't really why I want to go. I mean, I love my mama, don't get me wrong. I love my grandpa, don't get me wrong. I love cousins and I love aunts and I love uncles and all that's going to be fine and dandy. And I love Miss Dorothy and that's all going to be good and well. I mean, oh, God, don't get me wrong. But there's a man, oh, God, about 2,000 years ago, crawled up on Calvary's Hill and bared his life and gave it down freely, freely for a hog-gut sinner like me. That's why I want to go. That's why heaven gets sweeter every day. That man named Jesus is why I want to go to heaven. That man named Jesus that saved my sin-sick soul is why I look ahead. And I know day in and day out that even though the many mountains we go across and the many valleys we travel through, I know what lies ahead. That's him. It ain't nothing I've done on this side of eternity. And I thank God for my godly heritage. I do. And I thank God I didn't have to live out in sin and really go through the hell and the miry muck and the clay to get to where I am. I thank God I was raised in church. But the Bible says, whom have I in heaven but thee? It's all him. I don't know what you're dealing with, but it's all Him. And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside Thee. Hey, ain't nothing I love more than some eternity. And then get to go and be spend time with my earthly father and learn tricks of the trade and learn things that he can teach me that I can take on and things that I can spend time and pass on to my daughter. There ain't nothing I love more. But there ain't nobody I'd rather be near than Him. It's all Him. I want to be near Him. Through the thick times, Brother Bobby, it's all Him. It's always been Him, church. And it's always going to be Him. Oh, God. I believe because of Him. I'm persuaded because of Him. I'm committed because of Him and what's on the other side. I do it all by faith. Say, preacher, why do we come to church? Why do we love the Lord? Why do we get up and sing Sunday in and Sunday out? Why does the singers get up and the pianists play the piano? Why do we labor and pray 24 hours? Because we know what lies ahead, and it's all Him. It's all Him. Shoo. Whoa. The Bible says, my flesh and my heart faileth. And my flesh does. My flesh faileth every day. I mean, I think I'd be doing good sometimes, and it, man, it just all goes to pot. But the Bible says, but God is the strength of my heart, and it's all what lies ahead. Come here, Brother David. Shoot, God. Come here. Lay down on the ground. When life knocks you down, it's all God. He picks you back up. And His strength will pick you up. And you know why you get up? Because there's unction inside of you called the Holy Spirit, if you're saved, that says, son, get up. Daughter, get up. You got to press forward because there's a mark that lies ahead that we've got to keep going for. Amen. Don't give up now, Bethel. Don't let revival fade away. Don't let it go. Keep the fire in you. Say, why is that, preacher? I'm tired. I'm wore out. You do it because of what lies ahead. Could you imagine if we run around like a Wolfgang Pack, man, Lord allowed us to walk into heaven as Bethel? I mean, I know it ain't going to matter, but just to get to walk in with the people I've served with. Amen. And when we get there, say, what? Well, we ain't going to look, and I mean, we ain't going to pay no attention to anybody but Him. I mean, all these times we've labored. All these times we've struggled. All these times we've battled as a church family, and we've pulled together like peanut butter and jelly, and we've hung tight. And man, when we get there, it's going to be worth it all. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The Bible says, but God is the strength of my heart. Now, right here it is. And my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. You stand your feet tonight. I believe tonight, I'm persuaded, I'm committed, I do it all by faith, and now it makes sense that we do it because of what lies ahead. Church, you keep your head up. Keep it up. because there's joy just on the other side.